I hope everybody enjoyed their smokes. Without further ado, I'll give you Peter M. from New Jersey.
Everybody, I'm Pete. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Grateful to be alive and sober and part of a sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous. And first things first, on behalf of Chris and myself, thank this committee, Sal and Sal. Sounds like the mob already. I'm in Queens. And Bart for extending this invitation to Chris and myself. My sponsor will be here tomorrow evening to give a little talk. We have Mitch, who's going to give a little talk. And when things like this happen, very simply, I've shared this a million times from a podium, your spirit has extended an invitation to ours. And we suit up and show for fun and for free, and we commence shoulder to shoulder upon a common journey. And we follow a few simple rules in a big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you. We get to experience this power called God. We get to experience God. And when we first get here, we really need to. And that, for some of us, that becomes a chore. And we find other ways to do this. But for many of us, we realize that we get to experience God and get to experience the sunlight of the Spirit. And we get to experience bliss in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's a great thing. And we get to pass this message on to those who haven't heard it yet, even though they're making AA meetings. So, you know, your spirit extends an invitation to mine, and we commence shoulder to shoulder upon a common journey, not the fellowship's journey, which has a lot of different programs. They don't resemble any kind of program, but there are a lot of different programs, and a lot of us are dying or staying sick in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because the majority of Alcoholics Anonymous is top-heavy in fellowship, and the minority who are staying sober, getting recovered, and staying free are doing the deal in the big book Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why we meet. See, many of us here tonight, and some of us here tonight, get to a workshop like this, or get to a sponsor's door, or get to an AA meeting, because what we're looking to do is die. Now that sounds radical and very radical in a contemporary AA meeting that I came here to die, but that's exactly what's going on, even for some of us here tonight, for this little weekend that we're going to do and go through this book. We're looking to die. What we're looking to do is experience the death of self before the actual physical death. See, we need the less self, the more God. The more God, the less self. And self needs to go. Little by slowly, by going through this work, self will dissolve. And as the manifestations of self start to dissolve, we will be filled up with the Spirit of God. And I will tell you this on the front end of this workshop. If you haven't found out that this whole deal in Alcoholics Anonymous is about experiencing the glory of God, please do. Because that's what this is about. Nothing less than that great fact. All the things we get to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellowshipping, one drunk work with another in service, getting recovered through the big book Alcoholics Anonymous, they are all simply pointers to experience God and nothing less than that great fact. Now, contemporary AA will tell me, don't come back here, Pete. We don't want to talk about God. They find workshops like this controversial. Going through the book with maybe, you know, a week separated from alcohol, radical. And bless them. But when we study our big book and we look at a chapter called A Vision for You or Alcoholic Number 3, we see how Bill and Bob paid a visit on a guy still detoxing in this hospital bed and gave him the deal. And they weren't interested in, hey, Bill D., get 90 and 90 first and then we'll talk about your issues, your triggers, right? Right. They said, we got a guy here who's dying of alcoholism. Let's talk about the obsession. Let's talk about how it deteriorates the body. Let's talk about the solution we found. It's called God and how we got there. And the guy's still laying in bed. How many of our home groups do that? How many of our meetings do that? How many of us are still on the firing line passing out that and not apologizing for God and Alcoholics Anonymous? Right? So when Chris and I got this invitation, we said, let's go have some fun. Because this is really fun. Because we talk about in things like this, we talk about in some of our pockets of enthusiasm about truly waking up. And the question I'll throw out, which is going to kind of be our theme for the weekend, is if we're experiencing freedom tonight, do we want to get freer? If we're not experiencing freedom at all, ego is telling me, oh, you're free. You're free, but I'm attached to everything with a pulse, right? If you're not experiencing freedom, do you want to? If you're experiencing what Chris talked about, the bondage of self, and that bondage can be anything, her, him, money, the car, whatever it may be, the external conditions are going to be a remedy for my internal condition called alcoholism, and just give me more of it. Because that's what I need to breathe. That's what I need to get a sense of self. That's what I need. It's vital to me moving from moment to moment. And that's delusional, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to challenge all of that to see how free do we want to be. Because the freer we get, then we sit down with another drunk and we can pass that on. See, we talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous how we can't transmit something we haven't got. Right? But we can what we do, and that's sometimes that's untreated alcoholism. We look at a sick prospect, let's go talk to the sponsor. I'll lay off from here to Vegas. The sponsor isn't doing too good either. Because if he would, why would he permit the prospect to behave the way he or she's doing and continue to sponsor them? With me? Just to let you know, God separated me from alcohol June 23rd, 1988. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I say recovered because I am. And that's where God has brought me to, from bondage of self to a place called recovered. And anything less than that would be falsely humble. Now, in some of our AA meetings, saying you're recovered is awfully radical. Until we open up the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and it says the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. We recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and once that's removed, we get to get recovered from alcoholism. The selfish and inconsiderate habits, living all over page 52, living with page 62, right? Like a tornado roaring through the lives of others, that stuff gets removed. The sprees get removed. So I'll go to a meeting and say, yeah, I just celebrated, 5 years sober, and I'm sponsoring 300 guys, and I make coffee at every meeting in Brooklyn and Queens and Manhattan and Jersey, and I'm a guru, right? And when somebody asks us, how are you doing? I say, I'm doing great, because I'm in an AA meeting. We're all doing great. I'm great. How are you doing? Great. I'm great. Beautiful. Things great, right? Then that guy writes inventory, he was never doing great. Because what we can experience in Alcoholics Anonymous are sprees. Has my current thought life manifested in my own little reality? And if I'm untreated and my mind is God, it will, and it'll manifest in sprees. Even though I'm going to AA meetings, even though I'm sponsoring everyone, even though I'm a chairperson at every meeting, alcoholism doesn't care. And so I need to seek relief somewhere. What I'm really doing is running away from the discomfort that's overwhelming. Sitting on my couch all alone trying to watch a ball game, it can't happen. I'll watch the ball game, have the radio, smoke a cigarette, get on the phone and write inventory all at the same time. Right? Because I can't be still. I can't be present with breath. It's called little red flags to this is untreated alcoholism. I'm experiencing fear regularly. If I'm experiencing fear, there's a good possibility I'm not experiencing God. Because if I was, there'd be no fear. I'm probably moved into a little current agnosticism, which means I'm self-reliant, which means my life is unmanageable all over again. The sprees show up in food sprees. They show up in money sprees. They show up in gambling sprees. They show up in sex sprees. They show up in fear sprees and anger sprees. Anything. Not to be present now because it's too painful. So what we want to talk about is, being an Alcoholics Anonymous, like I was for my first 6 months, looking like a drunk without a drink in me, because being here was too painful without a solution. Lack of power was my dilemma, and I had none. With power, no dilemma. Where do I get it? And I'm running from meeting to meeting to meeting. You know, that routine, 9 o'clock meeting, get there, hurry up, share. 12 o'clock meeting, hurry up, get there. 3 o'clock meeting, 6 o'clock meeting, dinner, out the door for the 9 o'clock meeting. I tell everyone at every meeting I'm doing great. Until it's between meetings, and I'm not. And I was experiencing that with a lot of untreated stuff. Untreated alcoholism. Until some really neat people who weren't afraid of disturbing me on a question of alcoholism and were armed with the facts gave me a solution in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I wasn't too thrilled about some of the things I had to come face to face with. In the 12 and 12, when it says, who cares to admit complete defeat in step one, I take that into our big book because it's over and over and over again. We see how self is only out to destroy me, how the thinking mind is only out to destroy me. Who cares to admit defeat in those areas? When I think, my ego insists, demands that I'm doing such a good job. So if we're new in Alcoholics Anonymous tonight, you know, when I say new, like under a year, and we haven't gone into the steps yet, but there's that gentle nudging that maybe we ought to. That's why you're here. See, those of you here tonight who are fairly new, right, and we're kind of on the fence about getting here, but maybe a sponsor or friend said, get there. But you got here. That was your spirit getting you here. That's the part that's screaming for recovery. All the other stuff, she's going to miss me, he's going to miss me, there's a great game on tonight, I hate him from Brooklyn, and I hate this other guy from Jersey, and so I'm going to go elsewhere. Whatever it may be, that was the illness keeping you out of here. Same. And for those people, do you want to experience freedom? Do you want to experience the sunlight of the spirit? For those of us who have been around here a while, do you want to get past where we currently are, no matter how free we are? Why the need to experience power? I come to an AA meeting. There's certainly a lot of power in AA. Any AA meeting I walk into, I mean, you can feel it. When I was new, I'd walk into an AA meeting and sit next to the old timers, the guy with 30 and 40 years, because I'm hoping that would rub off on me. And like Chris said, they had these great one-liners. They were worldly in Alcoholics Anonymous. They had a lot of experience. And so I would sit with them and go to the diner with them. Right? But that wasn't enough anymore. Come around to Alcoholics Anonymous, after 6 months of being here and hanging around with the old timers and trying to get something, I completely bottom out in here after 6 months. Almost 6 months to the day, I'm looking to drink again. I was living in Minnesota. I'm driving down, I think it was called Washington Avenue, and I'm going to myself, well, the first bar that comes, the first corner bar I'm walking in, or if Flacco and Paco are dealing over there, I'm going there. Because I can't stand this. Everyone knows Flacco and Paco. And then I met a gentleman, and we began this work. So we're going to talk about the need for power in here while we're new, and why get power? Why resubmit myself to this work again and again and again? See, ego demands that I do none of this. My thinking mind wants no part of this. My thinking mind is a direct contradiction to my spirit. Until my thinking is cleared of wrong motives, it will contradict everything spirit tells me. It will fight for its life because it needs to. It needs to breathe. My ego wants no part of this surrender. And will look to acquire things to make it okay. That false sense of self. In property, money, and prestige. Acquire things. We're not going to talk about acquiring anything. What we're going to be talking about over the weekend is getting rid of everything. Because it's by subtraction, not addition, that we get to experience the glory of God. And nothing less than that. See, my deal was this. When she goes out with me, I'll feel good. When I get that new car, I'll feel great. When I get that job and have enough money, I'll feel good. And so at the very beginning, because I had that hole in the soul we all talk about, that emptiness almost all of us have when we come in here, right? So the first thing we do is look to reach out and acquire. I need to get. I want. I need to have. I'm craving things. Give me more. Until I get home, I'm sitting on the couch and none of that stuff's around and it's on me again. And I go out and I acquire. Some of us become workaholics because of that. Some of us need to go to Sex Anonymous because of that. Some of us are constantly angry because of that and dealing with frustration and despair in here because I need to get to fill up. How does that emptiness get filled? By removal. The reason why we feel so empty is because we've accumulated so much. A book talks about in chapter 10 Gnostics, pomp, calamity, and worship of other things, the attachments. That stuff in acquiring makes me feel even less full. It's empty. It's never satisfying. It's no nourishment for the soul, ever. And we get into this attachments, and all it brings on is pain and pleasure. Pleasure when I achieve, and back to pain because I need more. All of those strings of attachments need to go. All the belief systems need to go. All the attachments to external conditions need to go. Everything needs to go in order to be filled up with the Spirit of God. This cup is almost filled with coffee. If I was to pour more coffee in there, it would just overflow. If I was to let that coffee sit for a week or two, it would get murky. That's my condition when I got in here. It was full with a lot of things that weren't good for me. Resentments, fears, belief systems, attachments, all of it. And I thought by acquiring more, this would be a good thing because I would get some relief. And we will experience relief. New relationship, you feel really happy about it. A new possession, a car or something, you feel really nice about it. But it doesn't give me the true liberation that we need in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that comes from God. And so what needed to be done was completely emptied out. That's why a lot of us bail, because in the emptying out, we feel like we're dying because we are. We're experiencing the death of self, and most of us bail. This is too drastic, too revolutionary. I don't like how I'm feeling. I feel like I'm dying because we are. And I let every prospect I know who comes to me with that feeling say, well, you are dying. You're experiencing the death of self, and this is a great thing. This is a wide open channel to experience God in abundance. And no matter how much we get to experience, our Heavenly Father says, well, here's more. Go help my other children. I'm making you get sober. I'm separating from you from alcohol. You didn't quit. You didn't stop. That implies power, choice, and control. And if I have that, I probably should be watching a ball game here instead of being at this meeting tonight, right? But God's infinite mercy separates us and says, here's a solution, get on with the facts, experience all my glory, and go help others. That's what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when we stop doing that, we have untreated, middle-of-the-road, contemporary AA meetings, and they're an eyesore to Alcoholics Anonymous about the greatness of this fellowship, the glory of this fellowship, where we get resurrected and reborn in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, if that sounds like foreign language to you, then check your home group and the meetings you're going to if you're not seeing that. You with me? I was just telling a friend from Connecticut who's going to be speaking at Chris's group. This is a great group Chris belongs to. I've been there. It's the firing line. I walk in there and I feel like I'm in an AA meeting. There's activity. There's workshops. There's people taking people through the work who are sponsoring other people. My home group is called the Vision for You group. We're at the beginning stages of what they are. My group of Vision for You group, we want to be like this group. Or Into Action group in Berkeley Heights. Or Jimmy's group down in Spring Lake. Where things are happening. You know how many meetings I've walked into? Meeting starts at 8:30, show up at 8 o'clock. That's what you hear. Hi, I'm Peter. How you doing? Dude, maybe, what if I was new? What if I was new? Nobody greeting at the door. No big books laying around. The shades are buried in a closet somewhere. Leave those things in there. You know. And tonight, the meeting's going to start with, who has a joy or sorrow they like to talk about? You know, and the meeting goes off the cliff. But we have other places we go to, pockets of enthusiasm. And I feel very blessed because I got sent off to Minnesota in 1988 after my 7 treatment center. And I went into my 7 treatment center by being homeless and panhandling, and alcohol was my God. It owned me, King Alcohol. And I really, truly, deep down in here, even though I made a sincere plea to God, I didn't think I really had a shot at this deal. You know, based on my track record, I'll go to Minnesota, another treatment center, and we'll see what happens. But people out there, a meeting called the Three Legacies meeting, they met on a Friday night, much bigger than this group here tonight. They looked like they were recovered. And they talked about the message in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And they told me I was not hopeless. And they presented the 12 steps to me. People got to the podium dressed, not like they just committed a felony. Right? There were greeters at the door, looked like they were recovered. They were in the sunlight of the Spirit, and they scared the heck out of me, but I wanted what they had to offer. Because based on where I had been living, this was new for me. The people I was hanging around did not dress like this. They didn't talk like this. We certainly didn't talk about God. We didn't talk about hope. And that's what AA was offering at this one particular meeting. And I wanted what they had to offer. And those very same people opened their life to me. And they would take me to the diners. And even beyond that, would take me into their homes. And I never forget, there was a Viking 49er playoff game going on. And we had this Sunday afternoon AA kind of house party, right? And they invited me. A gentleman says, come with us. We're going to have this get together. And I watched these folks, these AA sober recovered folks, socialize outside of AA with no one watching. And they talked about their challenges with the children and their relationships and work and trying to make more money and job security and insecurity, all of it, all the things we meet out there. And they did it never once talking about a drink, and they did it with dignity. They did it walking with God. Now I know I wanted what they had to offer. When I saw men, tough men, talking about God in very intimate things, this was new to me. My shoulders were getting lighter by the day, and I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the great work we do. And it doesn't come, it doesn't get experienced by just coming to an AA meeting, or we'll find something in that fellowship, because it's one side of our triangle, it's one part of our legacy. We'll find excitement in our fellowship, we'll even find some power, but the needed power to sustain, to continue getting recovered, is in God. And that comes through working all three sides of the triangle. I can't expect the benefits of all three if I'm just living in one. For those of us who have been around here a while, 20 years, 15 years, we also have 15 or 20 years of ego stored up. And I mean this from the heart, and I know this may sound terribly arrogant, but I mean this from the heart. Ego has rebuilt itself. You see, and some of our 15, 20, 25-year members, it's really difficult to walk into a door like this and hear someone with 3 years on fire, right? And to ask for help. I did a talk out in Minnesota, a thing called the Gopher State Roundup. And a gentleman came up to me with 25 years, and he says, I'm dying. I'm thinking about killing myself or drinking every day. And this big, strappy Midwestern guy was about to weep in front of me, and there was a line of people. And can you help me? We're 25 years sober. It took a whole lot, and I recognize for him to extend his hand and say, can you help me? Because ego with 25 years, as we did, 25 years without any of this, keep doing what you're doing. Right? So for those of us who may be here this weekend who are afraid to ask for help, please don't. Because that sort of thinking kills us. The main problem for us centers in the mind, not the body. And we're going to talk about that over the next couple of days. The main problem for people like us centers in the mind, not the body. The solution is not in the mind. The solution is in the spirit, awakening of the spirit, where we kind of get a new mind, new perceptions. We experience God. We experience the great fact on page 25. And therefore, there's no drinking going on. And we apply that to every other area of our life. But the thinking mind, where the main problem is, once, you know, we'll the drinking will be removed. What's the rest of our life look like? Trust me, the thinking mind is a troublemaking machine. It wants to bring page 52 into my life. And we start to worship our mind. It's a subtle shift when that happens. My mind said it must be true. Okay, let's go. I thought of it. Right. A great exercise to work with over the weekend is watch the thinking mind. Watch it. Watch it. It goes my mind again. I hate this guy. I don't like the way he's talking about the thought step. She looks pretty. I think I need more coffee. Watch the thinking mind. Or the thinking mind does this. If my mom and dad would have gave me what I wanted, I wouldn't be in Alcoholics Anonymous. Right? He wasn't married to my ex-wife. That's why I'm here. So, past. 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 The mind cannot live in this present moment other than to catch its breath and move forward and back, forward and back. It uses the present moment just to get its breath, and then it propels into the future. When they do this, when I do that, when I accomplish this, when I acquire more stuff, when my external conditions look better, then I will feel okay. Then I will be doing good. And we bypass this moment to get there. And when we get there, we're looking for the next future moment. Or when we get there, we're regretting the whole past. Never, ever present. That's thinking mind stuff. It will endorse everything that doesn't resemble someone on a spiritual path. Every type of behavior. That's thinking mind stuff. That's why a book is so clear when it says, when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives, our thought life is placed on a much higher plane. Wrong motives can change from moment to moment. A wrong motive I have found for me is anything that's taken me away from the sunlight of the spirit. It's usually selfish and inconsiderate. It's usually all about me and stroking my ego again. Anything that's taken me away from experience more of God is a selfish and inconsiderate habit. Why? Because if I'm moving away, in a sense, from this power, not physically moving away, because we all get to know that God's closer than my own breath, but kind of turning from this power, how can I be of service to anyone else? If it's really all about me, how could I work with a newcomer if it's really all about me? Because I want you to get sober, not so you get sober, so everyone says, I'm his sponsor. We've all done that one. My prospect is speaking, he better do great. Why? So I look good. The neat thing about the opposite of all of that, an experience God, is that we get real present. Live in, as someone I study calls, the isness of this moment right now. How this, Chris and I were hammering out a couple of things, and both of us looked at each other and says, however God moves us, it'll move us. Wherever we go. You guys are going to determine how we move also. And God is overlooking the whole thing. Say, okay, go in this direction, go in that direction. No attachments to that stuff. But just present with breath. This is a great way to live. Having a prayer meditative life. Having a life with inventory and amends and working with others. Truly being on the firing line. With power, no dilemma. Lack of power, I have many. Some of the things we'll talk about over the weekend will be some considerations we'll throw out. And I ask you to do this. Don't answer the question from the mind. Have I experienced current unmanageability? Mind says, no. It has to. Right? Experientially, that's how we answer. Experientially, have I experienced page 52? That means I got to pause and think about this. Yeah, I have. Experientially, have I been working with anybody and taken them through to 12 proposals? Ego says, oh yeah, you've sponsored many. Experientially, not in a long time. So I get to see truth. See, ego will bypass all that and give you an answer. It already has planned to protect. Right? I'm very grateful for the people who got to me after my 7 treatment center and set me on this path after being 6 months in here completely untreated. and they disturbed me on the question of alcoholism. And I got to meet my first sponsor to a meeting called the Free Spirit Group in Brooklyn. And I worked with this gentleman for a long time. And we went through the work once and moved into 10, 11, and 12. And I was from the school of thought that you go through the 12 steps once and you live in 10, 11, and 12 forever and you don't ever have to revisit the first nine. And that worked for a little while. And then what happened to me when I heard people reworking the first nine proposals to further rid themselves of self, to further smash ego, I would get protective and defensive against them and protective of what I had done. They're wrong and I'm right. There was a problem. And around 13 or 14 years sober, whatever it was, I hit a wall in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was writing tons of inventory, working with lots of guys, going to lots of meetings, doing some of this occasionally. And I put my head on a pillow at night, and page 52 was knocking on a door. Fear was becoming a regular visit. What do I do now? I've gone through the 12 steps. See, that's what I'm talking about earlier. Do we want to get freer? See, my belief system that was instilled in me, I was protecting and defending and domesticated with that. No one around had to remind me of it. Went through the work once. That's all I have to do. Something must be wrong with me. We know that, but what? I didn't find a solution. Then I was listening to some new people, and they talked about reworking the first nine proposals. And after much prayer, Father, I need a new teacher, because our sponsors can get untreated and get sick too. And if we're following them, we're going to the ditch with them. I was awake enough to see that, and I made a prayer, and my current sponsor was put in my life. And there's a prayer a lot of us work with called the lay-aside prayer, the set-aside prayer. And I was experiencing a lot of contempt prior to investigation, and that was on the number one on the hit parade. I would hear that prayer more than bristle with antagonism. I hated the lay-aside prayer. Wanted no part of it. The people who did it were in a cult. They weren't in Alcoholics Anonymous. Contempt prior to investigation. I was giving people an opinion on that prayer with no experience. Right? So Mark shows up in my life, and the first assignment he gives me is the lay-aside prayer. I said, I'm not doing that prayer. And he explained to me what that prayer was about. He said, are you willing to go to any lengths to get well? I says, absolutely. And I said that prayer reluctantly, because that was right off the bat one of my any lengths. I love that prayer today. It's a tremendous prayer. And I can say that now from experience. So we answer our questions with experience. Experientially, has it been this way for me? Experientially, has it looked like that for me? For those of us who are around here a while, do we have a prayer life and a meditative life? That's a yes or no answer. Am I current on amends? That's a yes or no answer. See, ask an alcoholic, how's your prayer life and meditative life? I prayed yesterday. I didn't get a chance to meditate this morning. Did you ever miss a day of drinking? No. So you didn't, you know, what's the deal with that? Right. So those are some of the things we're going to look to talk about over the weekend. But really the thread that's going to run through this is why we need to have this power when we get in here, experience this power, and why to grow with it. Why do we need to acquire more of this power? Call God. Why do we need to get freer? My experience has shown me just coming to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and not reworking the first nine proposals to move me further into 10 and 11 was getting me in a lot of trouble. Working the first nine proposals has been a great thing for me. So that's all I got. Thanks. Smoke them if you got them. We'll take a 15-minute break.